Back with you on WGN. It's 1:16. This guy's been down the highway with all sorts of artists, including this one, Aretha Franklin, but also with Chic on a regular basis, Queen Latifah, the notorious B.I.G., Bono, Sting. The list goes on and on. A legend, if you know drummers, and his name is, and he is the one and only Ralph Roll. Thank you very much for joining us on WGN, Ralph.
Oh, man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. So I'm curious about a lot of different things here. As I read about you, you said somewhere, apparently, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, that if you're left-handed, that's an advantage when you're a drummer? I never knew that.
Well, what it is, my brother is a mechanical engineer, and he was the first person that I learned drumming from. And him studying my style, my brother, is, when you talk to my brother, it's like you're watching an episode of the Big Bang Theory. I mean, he's super analytical, very, very smart. And he says, you know something, I realize in your style, being left-handed and playing open-handed, that your hands don't cross, so it's basically, it's the path of least resistance when you're performing. So I can play an electric pad on my left side and keep a groove going with my right hand and sing at this. I have this ability to do that, which makes life a lot easier for me as a left-handed drummer.
I've always wondered how. So I don't know that you can explain that, but I've always been in awe of drummers who can drum, first of all. But secondly, at the same time, sing. I mean, you're talking to, especially if they're men, because you're talking to a guy whose idea of multitasking is just talking to you on the radio and looking straight into the microphone. You know, I mean, really. So how does one accomplish that?
Through practice. Everything is through practice. It's you know, it's one of those things that you adapt to with hours of performance. And just, you know, my life consisted of working in clubs in New York City for many, many years. So that's where I honed in on the craft of drumming. And then when I got the gig at the Apollo Theater, they needed an extra voice. And they knew that I could sing. And they just said, okay, let's get it going. And that's why I started really playing and singing, was at the Apollo Theater.
And you've worked with everyone. How many years have you been doing this in the business?
I've been a professional drummer now for 45 years. I'm only 46.
Of course.
So,
of course.
Yeah.
So let me.
I've been at it for
a long time. So let me ask you this: Duran Duran. I'm looking at Eminem, Pat Benatar, the Eurythmics, with Annie Lennox, of course, and Dolly Parton were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But not making
yes.
the cut, not making the cut yet again, was Dionne Warwick. She didn't make the cut. Devo didn't make the cut. Carly Simon did not. And Lionel Richie, Judas Priest, among those that did not. Do you think that any of the names that I mentioned of the did-nots really should be?
Say that last part again. You broke up a little bit. I'm sorry.
Do you think any of those that did not make it should have made it?
Well, you know, listen, to be honest with you, when it comes to Dionne Warwick, that's a bit of a no-brainer. I mean, the woman was the song of a decade of incredible, if not longer. I mean, she's still performing.
Yeah.
But there was a point where Dionne had so many hits back-to-back that it was ridiculous. I mean, so I think they kind of missed the boat on that one. As far as the other people, Lionel Richie, I know he'll get it. That's also a no-brainer. But, you know, I think the thing is that the committee that makes these decisions, they have to try to do it in a way that it seems like it makes sense to the industry. I don't know who's doing it. But, you know, every year someone's upset about who got inducted and who didn't.
Well, I think the public greatly votes for this one, if I'm not mistaken. But I think
the public's crazy.
Yeah, I listen. I agree with everything you just said. I mean, we had Dionne Warwick on the show about 2 months or so ago, and I was so honored and terrified, even though she was very nice, to talk with her, because legend is absolutely the right word. And she is in the musical record books for all sorts of different things. But simply, if you add up all of the times she has charted through the decades,
yes,
it actually exceeds Aretha Franklin. You know, so, I mean, it's just incredible that she's not there. But let's talk about where you are now. Are you still working? Are you still performing?
I am still drumming on a regular basis, whether it's in the studio or live. I'm out on tour starting again at the third week of May, and I'll be out until August. And then I'm home for a few weeks, and then I'm out again for another 3 months. And then home, and then we do the Cher tour, which is great. And then we're doing the Duran Duran tour. So I'm playing heavily, and I'm just so glad that, you know, music is opening up again, because people needed to get out. They just need to be careful.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Cher. So I thought that the last tour, or maybe the tour before that, or maybe the tour before that, was her last, based on what she said. But apparently that's not the case.
Well, no. I think what happens is touring life, your last for any musician is wonderful, but at the same time, it can be grueling. But there's this exhilarating part of touring that, and the same thing with sports, you know, athletes. You get to a point where you're sitting at home going, this is not what I do. You know, I don't know. I'm coming out of retirement again. So Cher has literally, she's retired at least four times.
That was last week alone, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is it like touring with, well, Cher?
It's an amazing thing. I've been fortunate enough working with Nile Rodgers and Chic to have the ability to, you know, just tour with artists on our gig. You know, we're the band that everyone wants to take with them, from Lionel Richie to Earth, Wind & Fire to Cher, Duran Duran. They all want to tour with us because we put on, from what we've been told, you know, a really great show. And that has been great. So going out and opening up for Cher, opening up for Earth, Wind & Fire, has been an amazing, it's just amazing to work with those legends. You know, when I sat down on a break in the cafeteria with Verdeen, and, you know, my brain is jumping around like, oh my God, I'm sitting next to Verdeen, and he's talking to me, just making jokes, and it was surreal. But those are the kind of things that makes this enjoyable for everyone.
Well, I mean, it's quite a career you've had, but you said, no, I need to cook. I need to bake, really, cookies. How did that come about? You have your own line of cookies called Soul Snacks.
Yes, I do. When I was a very young kid, I grew up in public housing in the Bronx. I was always with my mother, and I was up under her all the time, and she was the one that would take me to my grandmother's house. It was my sister, my brother. Sometimes he was there, but he had a girlfriend at the time, so it was usually just me and my sister. And we would go to my grandmother's, and she would bake, and she would cook, and most people that I talk to around the world have those memories of when they're young, of being around family during times of barbecues or dinner, or it's a very sociable and memorable time. And I remember sitting at the table with my cousin Vincent, who was a year younger than me, and we were little. We were the youngest in the family, and we were only two boys when my brother wasn't around. So I would, she would give us the bowl when she was baking, and sit us on telephone books, because we were so little, when they still had telephone books. And yes. We'd sit at the table. She'd give us the bowl, and we would just enjoy licking that bowl from her batter. And the smell, the time with family, I just gravitated towards that and just wanted to just bake. And also being a shy kid coming from the projects, I wasn't cool. I was shy. And I was, like my brother, I was kind of smart. So talking to girls was not something that came natural to me. So my strategy was, well, you know what, I'll just bake them something and see if they want to talk to me. So I would bake maybe some cookies, or I'd bake a cupcake or something like that. I'd give it to a girl, and go, oh, that's so sweet, you're so nice. And that was my way to kind of, as an icebreaker, to get to know girls that I want to talk to.
Now, they're called Soul Snacks. I happen to like your cookies, but if I didn't, Ralph, that would mean I have no soul?
No, it would just mean that you have a little less. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I know.
No, it's a product that comes from a legacy of family. And to be honest, all ethnicities have soul food. All ethnicities. It's just in America, the term soul has kind of stuck with Southern cuisine. And that's why it's called soul food. But Indian food is soul food. Italian food is soul food. It's the food of that particular culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that people take with them for many, many decades. Like, for example, the two recipes that I started with, I got from my grandmother. And we tried to figure out maybe when she started baking. So she was born in 1900. And I know she must have got it from her mother, who I never met, my great-grandmother. But I took those recipes with me because they are made from the soul. And they have a lot of pride and a lot of heart in what we're doing, and I wanted people to taste that, and from that base, I've just learned to create other flavors.
We
have
only
18 different...
Right, so I'm jumping in here only because we had less than a minute left here. So, Ralph, quickly rattle off some of those flavors. I know, time goes by so fast. And tell us where we can get the cookies. I need cookies. I'm like a cookie monster.
Okay, you can get the cookies. If you go to soulsnacks.com, you can get our classic brand, and you can also... get the cookies that are sold at Walmart. There is a tab there that says Walmart stores, and they're listed as to the stores that we're in. They gave us almost 800 stores, and we're very happy about that. We have chocolate chip, Down Home Double Chocolate Chip, and Grampy's Chocolate Peanut Butter is what's in Walmart. And if you go to the website, you'll get Grampy's, you get peanut butter, Miami Raisin Walnut, Georgia Oatmeal Raisin, gluten-free, sweet potato. We have a sweet potato cookie that people love, so it's a lot of different flavors that people really like.
All right, give us the website just one more time.
Soulsnacks.com.
Easy enough to remember, soulsnacks.com. Ralph, a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for your time.